The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the American Justice Radio Network. We've got a fantastic broadcast here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a great show. Evan Dwyer, managing attorney at Rosen Justice, is our guest. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Come up about it. Right, there you go. We're expecting Dr. Bruce Grossinger also to stop in, and we're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk some law. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Let's talk a little sports before we talk about the firm. A little bit about your education level, your education path, Eric, if you would.
So I've been to a lot of colleges over the years, but I would say the most important one's probably the University of Alabama.
And so you have a lot of degrees. You're a smart man. You have your law degree, and that was at Washington and Lee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Small school in Southern Virginia.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a little Alabama today because I know it was a tough weekend, because I know you're a big football fan at Alabama football fan. And by the way, how was it going to the school? A lot of school spirit, a lot of fun, along with being I have a good education, but talk about that.
I would say the school spirit is like off the charts there. I mean, everyone has, their Alabama t-shirts on. Football's on the mind at all times of year.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what time of year it is, summer, spring, doesn't have to be on. It's still the topic of conversation.
All right. Evan, I'm going to give you a memory. I'll never forget it. Now, this is going to date me, even though that, when I'm looking at you, just so you know, when you hit my age, you're going to be looking at somebody just like you going, we must have went, I must know this guy from school or something. We got to be the same age, but clearly we're not, right? Penn State, Joe Paterno versus Bear Bryant, Sugar Bowl, national championship on the line. Penn State on the goal line, okay, got the ball. And we run Matt Sui and Mike Gooman up the middle four times and got stuffed. Did you ever hear about that?
I actually didn't. That's definitely before my time. It was like
1979. I know that you would imagine somewhere on the campus of Alabama, that goal line stance. Matt, did you ever, you know what I'm talking about here?
I don't think I remember that. I remember when you played against Joe Namath when he was at Alabama.
Yeah, oh, yeah, me? I wish I played against Joe Namath, but I'll never forget it. We used to travel. It was I think it was New Year's Day. My parents would take us over her cousin's house, and we're watching this game. And Paterno tries to stuff it down Bear Bryant's throat, and my God, they stuffed this four times in a row. And I was just traumatized. Could not figure out why they kept going up the middle, that tradition. The thing about Alabama is there's no pro football there. So it's like pro football and massive college wrapped into one. Okay, so that tradition is massive. Let's talk about the game. You've won a lot of national championships. You've been walking around on a cloud plenty of times. On occasion, this is, the real world. And as a great attorney, even in the real world, I don't profess. I coached a little high school football as a assistant coach for about 7-8 years, and you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and in the real world, when you're out there fighting for your client, it's not always a gimme, right? You're fighting against the big insurance companies, trying to seek justice for somebody who can't represent themselves. Well, in the real world, not everything's a cakewalk, and lo and behold. Two great college institutions, Alabama and Texas, are playing. Over the last 15 years, I don't know how many times they played, but I'm sure Alabama won. Everyone.
Maybe. Well, they won it last year.
Alabama?
Yeah, they won it last year, right at the end of the game. I think it was like 21-20.
So my point is it was a tough game. But you had some insights on, I said, because I didn't see the game, And I saw the pundits, some of them picked Texas, but and of course some picked Alabama. But tell me your thoughts on kind of what happened.
Well, I think the biggest issue that Alabama has right now is a quarterback problem. They brought in a guy from Notre Dame over the summer, so that, you know, that shows that they had a lot of question marks about Jalen Milroe, who was the backup last year. And they put him in as a starter this year, and frankly, he's not the guy. He doesn't have the accuracy.
Yeah, and you know, so I guess what you, but he is a runner, right?
He's a runner. I mean, he's super athletic. He can make plays with his legs. And he seems like a smart guy all around, but, you know, just some of his passing isn't there. He threw a couple balls that got intercepted that he just shouldn't have thrown, and he was off target.
Did they replace him or no? Did they keep stick with him for a minute?
They stuck with him. I thought they were going to replace him with either Buckner. He's the guy from Notre Dame. I thought they were going to replace him at halftime, but they stuck with him.
You know, it's look, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. It was amazing to see TCU get in there last year. You know, they were.
Oh, that was great.
It was.
That was so cool.
By the way, we it just goes to show we all have a heart. I mean, on Thursday night, you got Detroit playing Kansas City, right? Now, Detroit wins. Now, could you imagine being their fans? It's like being Rice's fans, okay? You know, like, I mean, Northwestern and Rice for all them years. When they get a good team, and these fans from, Detroit come out and all that. So when they get something good going, it's amazing. Even though Travis Kelce didn't play, and that's really a big part of, I mean, and it was a 21-20 victory, you know, it's good to see something like, so when you see a TCU come around and they earn it, it's actually fun. Now they got spanked like there was no tomorrow in the national championship by Georgia. And we're going to talk a little Eagles in a second, and I'll do most of the talk in there. But you mentioned, Georgia. Well, we're like Georgia and Alabama combined one team, the Philadelphia Eagles, right? I mean, we got more Alabama players and we got more Georgia players than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, they've been robbing the SEC in every draft class.
Yeah. I mean, but yesterday, Mac Jones ate us alive. So at one point, as we segue, we'll talk, a little Georgia post Georgia. I mean Alabama post Alabama, and in the midst of the game, they showed Mac Jones a picture of Tua, Mac Jones, and Jalen Hurts when they were at Alabama, the three of them.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
and how about that quarterback class, right?
Unreal.
I mean, my God, and
then they followed up with Bryce Young.
Okay, I worry a little bit about Bryce Young because he's so frail. But, they say that, I'm talking about in the NFL, but he could, these guys in the NFL, they have incredible talent scouts. Okay, in other words, their scouts are all over. I mean, I don't care how good he did at Alabama. You could sit there and say, well, he did out good at Alabama because he's surrounded by great. He obviously is an incredible talent. Okay, and frail or no frail, he was the number one pick in the draft. Okay, and he's there for a reason, and he's got a great attitude, and so the quarterback depth that they've had at that school, oh my God, you got to wonder in some cases though, when it gets that deep, do quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks that are really touted, sit there and go, you know what, I'm not going there. I'm not going to sit around for 3 to 4. Eventually,
that's the weird question, because for years, Alabama was not a quarterback school until Hurts showed up. It was just murder ball.
Yeah.
The whole time. And, you remember A.J. McCarron, he got a national championship and he just sort of bounced around as a backup. And that was like the biggest quarterback thing they'd done in a long time. And then all of a sudden you got Tua and you have Hurts and you have Mac Jones and Bryce Young. And everyone's like, wait, what is Nick Saban doing?
Right. It's quarterback you now.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it is. It is interesting. And then we go on. We're going after Georgia players like there's no tomorrow. Segueing, as we segue to the NFL, one of the crazy things. And I got a buddy who's a big Pats fan, and we were kind of joking around before
Boo.
The game.
What? Yeah. What?
I know. Can't, But it's really weird though, because The NFL, the first four games of the NFL, is like, and Matt, I'll bring you into this. But, you know, it's like preseason, man, for the starters.
Oh yeah, they're knocking off the rust. I mean, there's especially the ones that didn't play. But I mean, it didn't really. It looked that way with the Kansas City too, and Kansas City did play in the preseason, and they didn't look too strong either.
Well, they also didn't have Travis Kelce, and that's where they. I mean, they have Travis Kelce in that game, but again, you're not going to waste. In other words, the guy's injured, but he's, you know, he needs another week. Give him the other week. You got 15. You got 17 more games. But
they need Chris Jones more than anything.
Yeah, they need him big. But also this though, Joe Burrow said this yesterday. Okay, and here's there's a rival for you at LSU there, Evan. But he did say it, and he was 100% right. And let's be real. He said, listen, this is what happens when your quarterback doesn't play at all in the preseason. He said, don't worry. Like this, you know, the kid's cocky, and he's annoying because he doesn't play for us. But he's kind of like in Aaron Rodgers in a sense, where Aaron he's like, yo, don't worry, we got 17 games left. You know, it's early. These first 3 to 4 games are going to be the only other thing is that a lot of the NFL teams did the same thing, so we're all in the same boat. But not everybody did, you know. Like, and what really hit me yesterday when it came to the Eagles was that. We ran in, I didn't think about this, but you always get the perspective hindsight, right? 2020 is that we run into Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, Mac Jones was on, okay? And they picked us apart. And by the way, Matt, we did everything that we could yesterday to give him that game. Everything. I mean, that ridiculous call at 4th and 2, a crossing pattern, right? A slant. Who runs a slant, a timing play, 3-4 yards off the ball when you need two? It's congested, okay? It's ridiculous, okay? We give him that ball. I mean, you know, at that point, and we stop the clock. I mean, what can you do? I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, we got lucky. We'll take the luck. But running up against Bill Belichick, you know, a guy who's got, you know, months and months and months to plan for you in game one of a preseason game that counts.
Yeah, it's always tough to go up against any Belichick defense.
Oh my God! I mean, you know, it's the guy is what you know what it is. So
you see what Sirianni said though in the presser. He said he's going to reevaluate how they approach preseason games next year.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. By the way, any word on Fletcher Cox?
Nothing. I didn't see anything about Fletcher Cox, but
he got hurt, right?
He picked up a knock.
N'Kobe Dean. He's got a foot injury. He's out a couple weeks.
Okay, a couple weeks. Yeah,
I didn't see anything about Fletcher Cox, though.
Well, he was down for a minute. I mean, Dr. Bruce Gosher, hopefully we'll see him soon or else at least call in. But, you know, I was a little concerned about the Fletcher Cox thing. But anyway, it almost turned out to be a disastrous day with the Phillies here in Philly. And where do you hail from now, Evan? What area?
Oh, I'm in... Point Breeze, so sort of southwest-ish Philly.
Oh yeah. You're in Philly.
Yeah.
Yesterday almost was a disastrous day for us. We were one play away. One play. That kid gets that leather foot in, and that's over for us.
Okay. And that's my moment to interject. Josh Jobe, Alabama guy, yeah. That little push in the back
that's
kept
right.
That other foot from coming in.
100%. 100%. And so. But we're all getting our game feet and all that stuff, but it still was. And, you know, here's the deal. I want to shout out to my niece. We had her child's christening yesterday, but here we are watching the game on my brother's cell phone, a 3x6 inch. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there going, man, I did not foresee. Watching this game on a 3x6, and I mean 3x6 inch TV, you know, the opening game against the Patriots. But, you know, it was a little crazy, and we'll take the W. So, let's get into a little law, Evan. A little bit, you know, officially a little bit about yourself and your career path to where you're at.
So, I started a small firm in media a number of years ago, right out of law school. And it was a bit of a general practice. We did some estate, some criminal, but we did some personal injury there. And then I moved to a firm, Lewis Himmelstein and Associates. I was there for, I think, 7 years. And a headhunter hit me up on LinkedIn and was like, oh, would you like to manage a practice group? And I said, yes. Why, yes, I would.
Yeah.
So that's how I got up to Rosen Justice.
Okay. And as an attorney, what would you describe your, you know, your qualities, your best qualities?
I think the best quality you have is just to be relatable to your clients, to talk to them with empathy and make them feel comfortable. Because, you know, if they're talking to me, that means something really crappy happened to them.
Right. Even if they're like a Penn State grad, is that even possible that they can communicate that? I'm just kidding.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what. I was watching the Alabama game on a cell phone this weekend too, because I was actually at Penn State for the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What got you there?
My wife's best friend, her and her husband are Penn State fans. So they go up for a couple games every year. And we try to get up there at least once a year with them. I mean, at the end of the day, I love college football. I'm just here to watch it no matter
what. Let me take it to another level. Yeah. They're from LSU. There's not any representing that clan. Just kidding. Having said that, let's talk about Rosen Justice. Let's talk about the firm, what you guys do a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we do nothing but personal injury. I mean, there are some firms out there that dabble in workers' comp, personal injury, some criminal, but that's not us. This is the one thing we do. It is our specialty. We do things like car accidents, products liability, slip and fall, medical malpractice, all those sorts of things.
And your specialty, give me an idea of the types of cases when you talk about personal injury.
Well, like I said, I mean, we do tons of car accident cases and a lot of septic cases, because it just seems like their buses have a superpower of hitting things that they're not supposed to.
Right. There was a while there where one of the drivers actually got killed. And it was a span of 2 days where they were massive. I mean, catastrophic. This was within the last year.
Yeah, yeah. I know it very well. We represent someone that was on the bus where the two SEPTA buses collided. We have one of the injured people. So
yeah, I mean, it's okay. And you know, we've all been in a bus when it, even just if it stopped, and somebody goes flying, you know, there's metal everywhere there. And so, why don't we talk about, potential, if it was a bus accident, a potential SEPTA accident, what are the, what's the difference in representing somebody in that type of a situation? How does that work? Somebody, let's go through a hypothetical. I'm on a SEPTA bus, or another company bus exactly like it, but let's just say, I'm standing up. Okay. You know, we're on our way up 76 or something like that. I'm holding, you know, I've done it many times when I was in high school. I'd be holding on to one of the poles, and all of a sudden the bus hits something, stops dead, and we all go flying. I hit my head and have an injury. What's the first thing somebody should do, number one? And you know, how should, obviously, medical care and all that, they're catastrophically injured, but you get the call. What's the first steps?
Well, the first steps you got to do, especially if it's SEPTA involved. So they got, I think, 9 surveillance cameras on each bus. So you got to go to SEPTA and say, you know, give us surveillance. We want to see what happened. So you got to make sure you get the video. You have to put everyone on notice too. So you're talking like, oh, if the bus hits something, well, maybe it hits a giant pothole on the street. Well, then it's not just SEPTA's problem. It's going to be, if it's a city street, the city's, you're going to have to bring a case against them too. Or, you know, if it happens on 76, it's going to be PennDOT.
Okay. And as far as the, the investigation for the process, so you get the case, how do you investigate that case? How do you, what if somebody, hypothetically me, I hit my head, whatever, you know, But I don't go right to the hospital. I choose not to get an ambulance or anything like that. I don't even really know, you know, like in other words, what the number of the bus was. I don't have those details. So I have little, you know, information. I'm a little dazed, but I think I'm going to tough it out because I got to get, I'm late for work as it is. How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, typically, so long as you have a general location and time, you'll be able to figure out which bus, and SEPTA will be able to track down the footage. It's really pretty efficient, I think.
And as far as, you know, witnesses and how do you, in other words, once you track that individual down, I mean, once you get the call, once you get track the bus down, how do you collect your evidence, mostly from the camera footage?
Yeah, so there's a big, I'm not going to say exactly misconception, but you know, you've been watching these courtroom dramas and Law and Order and whatever your whole life, and like, oh, there are all these witnesses. You got to call witnesses. You got to get witnesses. But for the majority of our cases, even the ones that go to trial, the only witness will be the plaintiff themselves, because they're the best one to tell it, how it happened, and a doctor who will come up and testify to the plaintiff's injuries. And I think Bruce Grossinger, who you may have on here a little later, you know, we've worked with him in the past as an expert witness as well.
And when you're talking about, you know, how you talk about the coverage of SEPTA, okay, and you have a good doctor like Dr. Grossinger, who is a board certified neurologist, obviously credible, and so you have the medical and you have the evidence. If you know, obviously the patient, but you, like you said, they may even have video. What is the liability potential at something like that? In other words, you know, first of all, we're not professing, you know, obviously we hope no one gets injured on a SEPTA bus, but we're talking, it happens because there's so many people that use it. How, you know, what is there levels? Is there, levels of coverage? In other words, you know, with the city of Philadelphia or whatever, you can only sue up to a specific amount of, SEPTA is, huge, okay, but and they, I know they have insurance, and I don't know if they're self-insured, but they have limits on their lawsuits.
Yeah, they do. It's actually covered in Pennsylvania statutes, and that limit is $250,000 per person, $500 per accident, if they're the ones that cause it. If you're in a bus and somebody without insurance, like rear ends the bus, SEPTA carries $15,000 per person, $30,000 per incident in what's called uninsured motorist coverage.
$15,000?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous.
So if somebody, T-bones the truck, I mean the bus, why do they carry so little? They're not the ones paying the paying out the settlement, so...
No, they are.
Oh, is it self-insured? Or they,
yeah.
I get it. Okay, so, but still, they're self-insured. That's a great gig. I'm going to do that. I'm going to self-insure myself for $10. If I hit you, you can only sue me for $10. I'm being sarcastic, but how does that happen? How can they, you know, somebody gets catastrophically injured, okay, now does the other... But if the other person has, if it's a regular person and they have good coverage, yeah. So I mean, it can be a lot more people can get coverage.
Well, so what ends up happening in those situations? So you got like a bus full of 20 people that gets cracked by a car with no insurance, SEPTA more or less just deposits their money with the court and says, we're going to wash our hands of this. You guys figure it out. How you going to whack it up?
Wow. Just incredible. Well, hopefully that a lot of that stuff doesn't happen. But any particular cases where you were able to get a good recovery for your client, since you do handle a decent amount of cases?
Yeah, I mean, we had a car accident case earlier this year that we took to trial. The insurance company offered $11,000, which was completely ridiculous because the guy had, he had nerve damage and been treating for over a year, and we got a jury verdict of $98,000. So, yeah, we got some good results.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about auto insurance and yeah, you know, what happens when you know, somebody gets in an auto accident. It's the importance of having the right coverage. We're going to have more from the American Justice Radio Network and our guest, Evan Dwyer of Rose and Justice, when we come back.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover.
Not for fun, just so he can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day, but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
You're not too cool for me. And in return, I reciprocate that sentiment. I'll never be too cool for you. I was a man with a plan, but now I'm a dad with a decree, and you can't take that from me. Please let it be noted that I told my job they can dock my pay. Right now, it's just too important to take you to school every day. I want to be legendary for you. I want you to puff out your chest when you go to school the same way I do. I walk taller because of you, because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self, their country loved.
On this 9/11, in the middle of our American Justice Radio Network broadcast, we're here with Michael Dwyer of Rose and Justice, and we want to send our thoughts and prayers and our remembrance out to those victims and families from 9/11. My special intention is Peter Wertalli, who I happened to go to school with for a year at Penn Charter. I want to take 15 seconds of silence, if you will, in remembrance of those 9/11 victims and their families. We will never forget you. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the American Justice Radio Network. We've got a fantastic guest. It's Evan Dwyer, not Dwyer. I apologize. I'm sure, though, if you're anything like me, you've been called a lot worse in your day. A couple times, if you were going to the big game at Alabama. And
many things that cannot be repeated on
exactly. But let's, you know, Rose and Justice, a personal injury firm in the Delaware Valley, represents a lot of clients, does a great job on behalf of their clients. And we're here with the managing partner, Evan Dyer, and the managing, would you say that you're managing director of, manager of the practice?
Yeah, so our firm is actually based in New York, and the New York office does a lot of securities litigation, but the Rose and Justice arm of it, that's us, just the personal injury, and we're here in Philadelphia.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned auto accidents. Okay.
Sure.
And we talked a lot of football. Okay. It's funny because, you know, the Rogers rate and only getting you what you need and, you know, flowing in the folks, only talk about, you know, the cost savings, you know, they're trying to get you discounts on, you know, the lowest price possible. No one ever really talks about personal, about, you know, body protection, you know, and health and, you know, during those commercials. First of all, I just want you to know that I have full coverage. Don't worry about it. I'm good. I'm good. I know you never heard that before, so I'm going to say it to you. When I come in to see you, I'm fantastic. Now, before I get into that, you know, sarcastic remark, how many times have you heard that?
A zillion and a half.
Right. A zillion and a half. Okay. And ultimately speaking, what typically happens during that, you know, a moment afterwards when you mention, you know, terms like full tort and limited tort and those things, do most people look at you kind of funny?
Yes. Almost, I would say 90% of my clients have no idea what that means.
Okay. And having said that, you know, for some reason, people are not getting educated on that. Okay, we do most of the educating here, by the way. Let's talk about that. How come people are not, let's talk about that in particular, the myth of full coverage. What, in a sense, full coverage it's a mythical term in some cases, but it really just means the body of the car, right? I mean, the dents and stuff like that doesn't really talk, you know, include bodily harm coverage.
Also, the words full coverage don't really mean a whole lot. It doesn't really take. So, here are the two things that people never seem to know. It's, do they have collision on their car? So a lot of times they'll get hit, and then their insurance company won't pay to fix their car because they didn't get collision. They think they have full coverage because they went out and bought insurance, but they didn't buy the various other things that go along with it.
Okay. And why though? Like, in other words, why aren't we hearing?
It's cheaper.
Yeah, I get that, but you know, isn't it also the fact that, you know, that the insurance companies would really prefer that you don't buy, you know, bodily harm injury because it's not all that expensive, and when it comes, well, what's the difference between full tort and limited tort? Let me ask you that.
So, full tort versus limited tort is an option that has to be extended for every policy insurance offered in Pennsylvania, and what it means is this. If you're in an accident and you have limited tort coverage, you actually cannot sue for pain and suffering. You can only sue for your economic damages, things like lost time from work, cost of replacement of your car, things like that. There are some exceptions to that rule. If you sustained a serious impairment of a bodily function, you can breach that threshold. But generally, if you have limited tort coverage, which is cheaper, will substantially devalue any claim you may bring.
And full tort means what?
Full tort just means you can sue for pain and suffering. Full stop. That's the difference.
Okay. And how many people would you say, well, let's move on. But first of all, how many people just walk in the streets that may walk into your office, not only don't know the difference, but have not, because they didn't know the difference, only have limited tort and are surprised by that?
75%.
And they've not been educated. Now, do you think that's because they're getting their insurance off the computer themselves, or they're just not being educated by their guy, you know, the guy that, you know, their buddy that's get, you know, whoever their broker is that is they're getting their insurance from.
I think it has to do with probably the people selling the insurance, the guy they're getting it from, but also when you're buying your insurance policy, you're hoping nothing bad happens and you see like, oh, this one saves me like $40 a month, so I will take limited tort.
Okay. And you know, in the city of Philadelphia, from what I understand, there's so many people that are underinsured or don't have insurance, okay? If they don't have insurance, okay, and they, you know, you get hit in a car, you know, get, you know, blindsided by them, what are the consequences?
Well, if you, in Pennsylvania, every single policy of insurance, they have to offer you the ability to buy underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage, which will essentially step into the shoes of an uninsured person who's hit you. But if you don't have that, you're out of luck. There's nothing you can do. You can certainly sue the person themselves, but think about it. If they don't have enough money to pay for their car insurance, they're not going to really have enough money to pay for your injuries either.
Well, you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, people need to be educated about these things and about how many people. I've heard it's a ridiculous amount of individuals driving around the city with, you know, little or no insurance. So, and that does, in fact, impact somebody if they are negligent and they hit somebody. I know these are just, you know, hypothetical, you know, percentages, but talk about the, you know, what type of percentages of people that are underinsured or don't have insurance?
Well, I mean, it depends on what section of the city you're in.
Well, let's just say this. Let me rephrase that question. But we're just talking about the overall city.
Sure.
Okay. Not a section or whatever. But my point is, it's a statistics show a lot. You know, of people in the city are underinsured or don't have insurance. And so, you know, typically speaking, you know, does that impact, you know, the need to get insured or underinsured motorists?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And my point is, though, that it really does vary by sort of financial income of certain sections of the city. If you've got a section that's less well off, they tend to have lower insurance policies. And sometimes, unfortunately, a family won't have enough to pay to cover their car. So depending on where you live, it might be a bit different.
Okay. And you know, so if somebody gets hit, or it's a hit and run and you get hit, people are so uneducated about insurance, they automatically think that, okay, well, it all depends on the lawyer, right? Like if I got a good lawyer, he'll be able to get me covered or money and all that. And that's just not the case.
No, obviously you want a good lawyer.
You're right, you want a good lawyer, but, you know, even the best lawyers out there like yourself and you know, you can't wave a magic wand, you know, you have to, you know, people have to make sure that they do their part and are covered.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you can't wave your wand. You can't wish coverage into existence.
Exactly. And so do you ever, you know, in other words, if a client came to you and said, can you take a look at my policy? Okay. Well, you know, have you ever checked, you know, to see if they, because a lot of us don't really understand, you know, what we have and what we don't. Sometimes those boxes that say uninsured and underinsured motorists and full tort are already checked, okay? Don't they have to be, in other words, you have to check them off if you don't want them?
Yeah, you do. And it's funny you should say that. For underinsured motorist and uninsured motorist coverage, the state issued a statute with the exact language that must be contained in those waivers. And if it's even slightly off, it's considered no good, and they're forced to provide you with coverage.
Okay. Well,
one would think that giant insurance companies would be adept at following the state guidelines, but you know, a couple times every now and again in my practice, I do always look for the waivers. Sometimes they just get it wrong.
Well, you know, certainly speaking, that's why it's important for people to be educated and to understand that. Let's talk about PIP, okay? Personal Injury Protection, okay? It's and what is, you know, what are, talk about it. What is it, number one? And number two, what are the minimums in Pennsylvania?
So PIP is a no-fault medical coverage that comes attached to a car insurance policy that, in Pennsylvania, your policy must carry a minimum of $5,000. And what it does is, if you're in an accident, even if it's somebody else's fault, before your health insurance, before the other person's insurance, your PIP on your car insurance must pay the first $5,000 in medical bills.
Right. Now, that could go, especially if it's a catastrophic injury, that could go fairly quickly, right?
It can go fairly quickly, although conversely, Pennsylvania has a law called Act 6. And what Act 6 says is that injury sustained in a car accident, treatment that you've received can only be billed at 110% of what the doctor could bill Medicare. So when you see these like eye-watering bills for MRIs that are like $3,000, a lot of times if it's given as part of a car accident, they can only recover $300 thereabouts. Okay. And the reason I bring that up is a lot of people, they think, oh my goodness, I can't afford to treat, or like, oh, this $5,000 is only going to cover my one hospital visit. But it really, it does. It does cover more.
Okay, so having said that, let's talk a little bit about what somebody should do at the scene of an accident. Okay, if first of all, if it's a catastrophic injury, medical treatment is paramount. We know that. But a lot of times, if it's a seemingly non-catastrophic injury, even though my wife got hit by somebody from the back when we were kids, and she ended up getting surgery right across, you know, getting discs fused across her neck, and it was a fender bender if you ever saw one. You would think, right? It's a dent in the back, and my kid just took off at a light. He was about 5 feet from me, hit his butt, and she didn't think she was hurt. So we never really know how catastrophic an injury can be, number one. But number two, the police don't often come now in Philadelphia if it's not a catastrophic, you know, a massive injury, you know, accident, because they're busy with a lot of other things. But that's just a rule. If it's a catastrophic accident and somebody gets T-boned or whatever, it's a massive, of course they're going to be there. But point is, that leaves the injured party sometimes on their own. What should they do at the point of an accident?
Well, so what you're saying about the Philadelphia police, yes, a lot of times they won't come, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't call them anyway.
Or go file a report afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, that number one is call the cops. Even if they don't show up, just, you know, you got to try. Second, make sure you get pictures of the damage to your car and the damage to the other person's car. Make sure you get a picture of their insurance, but also their license, because a lot of times the name on the car insurance slip that they have, maybe it's their father or it's their wife, and that name won't be the name of the person that's actually driving the car. So you don't want a scenario where you're like, oh yeah, I know who hit me. I got the insurance here. It was Bob Jones, but it actually turns out that it was Bob's best friend Mark, and now you don't know who actually hit you.
Right. How often does that happen?
Frequently.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, most people, they just don't think about it. And now that the cops seem to be showing up less and less at accidents, you don't get a police report that tells you all this stuff. So you just got to be careful, be vigilant with it.
So how about witnesses you know, first of all, one of the problems and one of the reasons we're talking about this is we're trying to educate our listeners on, you know, just reacting and doing things the right way. But you're also, you know, I've been in a couple accidents, and even the smallest fender bender can be shocking to somebody. Their mind's everywhere.
Sure.
You know, what about, getting witnesses, you know, and evidence. I mean, you know, what type of evidence along with the ID and all that stuff is crucial.
Well, the biggest evidence is the pictures of the vehicles. Now, what, you know, sure, if there are people around that have seen it, that's great. Get their names, get their numbers. But the most important thing is to be able to show where on the damage that, or where on the car the damage is, because that can help you reconstruct how the accident happened.
Okay.
Right? So if you see the damages to like the right passenger side rear fender, well, then you can tell where that car was in the intersection when it got hit.
Okay.
Whether it was almost all the way through or if it was hit in the front, then maybe it was just coming into the intersection. So that's really important.
And the importance of obviously calling an attorney and finding that, first of all, you know, there's no out-of-pocket costs for your services, correct?
No, absolutely not.
So, you know, what is the importance of making sure you get that, you call an attorney to educate yourself in the process?
Well, if you think you've been hurt in a car accident and it's someone else's fault, yeah, you should absolutely call an attorney straight away. I mean, we do this for a living. We do it every day, and we know how to guide you to the best way possible to get the treatment you need and to get a recovery.
A lot of times people, you know, there are things that they probably shouldn't do, okay? And I don't mean, you know, attacking the other guy, right, or whatever. That's obvious, right? That's clearly obvious. But you may get a call from, I've heard catastrophic stories where somebody, you know, listen, you hear it a million times. I don't want to be litigious. But you get calls from adjusters, okay, that ask you if you're okay. You may not, and we've had these conversations on air where somebody's absolutely, you know, they have, they're in, you know, maybe in shock or whatever, but you know, their adrenaline's pushing, and the adjuster says, "Well, how you feeling?" "Oh, I feel okay." You know, like they have no idea what, you know, what their situation
is. Absolutely.
And that, you know, that could be used against them. Correct.
Under no circumstances should you ever speak with an adjuster when they call you up. They are not your friends, even if it's your own insurance. And you think you might have a case, you think you might be injured, talk to an attorney first and tell them, hey, you know, I'm represented. I can't talk to you. Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, and it's because their protocols go into effect immediately. Okay. You need to be educated. Doesn't mean, you know, you're going to sue somebody or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is that, well, I've heard stories where they say, you know, somebody gave up their rights for $500 and they turned out to be really injured.
Oh, absolutely. That beware if an insurance company calls you up and immediately wants to hand you money.
Right. Well, you know, having said that, you talk about your own insurance company. It could be an underinsured or uninsured motorist. You could have a, you know, adversarial relationship in that process, because at that point now you may have to collect for, you know, from your, or, you know, you may have to sue your own insurance company for, you know, uninsured or uninsured benefits. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And that's what I said a minute ago. I mean, you should avoid talking to not just the other person's insurance, but if you think you've been injured, you should avoid talking to your own insurance too, because they're not your friend. They're never your friend, even when it comes to the personal injury protection money that they have to pay.
Well, Flo seems nice and Aaron Rodgers, everybody loves him, except everybody in New York, depending upon what he does tonight. But
Flo is not your friend.
Yeah, Flo's not. And
in fact, Flo is, you know, this is just my opinion, but in my opinion, progressives should be avoided at all costs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't say that.
They didn't say that, and this is just my personal opinion.
Right. Okay, well, having said that, it's important for people to obviously have that information and to be educated in these areas, because at the end of the day, people often don't know what to do at the scene of an accident. And so, you know, we want to make sure that they know, and by the way, we hope that somebody's okay, but there's no, like, the contingency fee agreement is a big part of what you do, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean? Just to recap, give me 30 seconds on it, 20 seconds.
Well, yeah, it means you never have to pay anything out of pocket. You come to us and you sign up with us, and basically the way we get paid is only if we win, then we get a percentage of the recovery. But you never have to, even if you lose your case, you don't owe anyone any money.
Evan Dyer, if you would, contact information for yourself and at the firm if somebody needs your services.
Sure. You can reach us on the phone, 215-999-2244, on the web at rosenjustice.com, and you can email us at info@rosenjustice.com.
Awesome. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the American Justice Radio Network broadcast. I want to thank Evan Dyer, okay, managing attorney at Rosen Justice for being our guest. Shout out to Dr. Bruce Grossinger. I want to thank Matt Minarek in the studio. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.